Welcome to the Business of Show Business with me, Jamie Boddy. I'm joined by industry experts and up-and-coming creatives as we unpack the skills, stories, and side hustles behind the entertainment and creative industries. So if you are ready to thrive and not just survive in showbiz and the arts and culture sector, you're in the right place. Today, I'm joined by West End performer and entrepreneur, Jack Greaves, who's performed in West End shows such as Matilda and The Book of Mormon. And he's now flexing his business muscles as he's opened up a canine first space here in central London called West End Towers. I've just had a sneak peek. It is pretty epic. We're going to talk everything from personal branding, starting up a new business, how to navigate 8 shows a week, and everything the business will show business. All right, let me get comfy on this massive couch.
I know, right?
Yes. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, good, good. Literally blown away, first of all, by the facilities.
Like, thank you. Phenomenal. Welcome to West End Tales.
It's over 2 floors. So when you see, like, it's epic. You've literally just opened as well. So it's all, like, brand new. Obviously, I love the smell of dogs. I've got them, but it all smells brand new. It's lovely.
It's, can we do branding here? Are we allowed? It's a certain scent called Calm from M&S.
Lovely. Yeah. So obviously, you've been in the West End, and now you've always had a passion for dogs as well. So you used to do a little bit of a stage door pickup for friends with dogs, but now it's blown into this massive 2-story building.
Yeah, so essentially kind of West End Tales is London's first premier dog care that we know about so far, hopefully for the future. I was coming out of Book of Mormon and chatting with some friends and being like, oh my god, it's so hard to work the show and be with a dog. Like, getting a dog's hard enough anyway, but to actually do it around theater hours, which are very unsociable for the kind of usual world, I was like, it's really hard to actually find daycare or even dog walkers at that time. Mm-hmm. And I was chatting with a friend, Susan, who's now my new business partner, and she was saying, I think there's something here, right? And I was like, I think there is. So we kind of looked into it. We asked a few friends, being like, listen, we're thinking about doing this. Is that something you'd be interested in? And they were like, oh my god, yes. Yeah. So we did a few little pickups on the stage door, took them for little walks, like that kind of stuff. And it basically just grew like crazy. And we were like, oh my god, there's something here. Even to the point where people were asking us that weren't in theatre as well. And we're like, there's definitely something here. So then we're like, let's stop. Let's have a little breather. Let's think. So Susan's background is Amazon, very corporate. Mine is all theatre, so very different ends of the spectrum, but work very well as a team. And then, yeah, essentially we kind of went, wow, there's something here. And then, yeah, fast forward and we are here open and ready for everything that gets thrown at us.
I will flip the camera later on so you guys can see. We're in this library. I feel like I'm Belle in Beauty and the Beast.
There's a sliding ladder that actually doesn't slide because if you go on it, breaks, which is, we've tried it already.
This is a long way away from Book of Mormon. You was also in Starlight Express in Germany.
Yeah.
So this is very different. The light bulb moment you were telling me, we met downstairs, you basically come out and this is Tough Mudder. You had this, you're like climbing over apparatus and this idea kind of grew to this. How scary was it kind of being like, right, I need to shift my creative juices to kind of opening this beast? Because that's quite a scary thing for performers when they've got another passion and they want to scratch that itch.
For sure. I think like we said, we actually came with the idea on doing Tough Mudder, which is a random place to do it. But that's where most ideas are, right? They're kind of random spaces, like asleep at night, or you're like, oh my God, I've got this idea, or like doing an obstacle course and running through electric fences, whatever. So this kind of idea came and it was scary. But I always think life's about taking risks and taking challenges and pushing out of your comfort zone, because that is the only way you grow.
Yeah.
Because if not, you just stay exactly where you are. And sometimes that's absolutely fine. If people want to do that, that's great. But that's just not me as a person. I don't think it's many people as well, especially in theatre and performing. Like, it's not an easy business to get into. Okay. So it's kind of like great that it set me up for this new venture. And you can take so many things from it. But yeah, they're kind of like, it was definitely an evolution of an idea. And a business, rather than kind of like, oh my god, I'm going to do this. Because I never saw myself when looking like forward in the future being like, oh yeah, I'm going to open a dog care facility. Like, that wasn't on the mood board or the vision board, but you kind of just go with the flow and like you take these opportunities and chances because life's too short and you don't want to look back and go, oh, I wasted it. So going with it and just having fun with it. That's the main thing.
When you were giving me, like, it was like an MTV Cribs style tour. We were talking a lot about transferable skills. So what are maybe some of the skills as a performer that you've brought over to this venture? Because obviously you've got Susan, who's Amazon business brain.
So good, yeah.
But you obviously, you're bringing your own flair, your own skills, and you've not, you are still performing and being creative alongside this. So it's not like it's you've taken that heart off and solely put this one on. But what are some of those transferable skills from you as a performer that you brought over here to West End Tales?
For sure. Like, I mean, yeah, definitely 8 shows a week is a killer. Yeah. So definitely resilience, definitely a discipline, which is great, as in like you're punctual, you turn up on time. And also like you bring a certain energy as a performer. Mm-hmm. I think this energy is definitely fresh in a corporate space. Sometimes maybe it's a bit too much in a corporate space and you have to maybe turn it down a little bit. Yeah. But definitely that kind of like very personable. You can talk, you can chat, you can hold a room, you can present, like all that kind of stuff. Which is great in the fact that also like I have a business partner that is the corporate, so I can learn from that, which I think is so important as theatre, is that you're your own business. So like you need to sell yourself, you need to be able to do, as well as like doing the triple pirouettes or whatever, high kicks, there's another part of it.
Yeah.
So like, why don't we know about that part? Why don't we learn about it?
I always say like, there's no point being the best singer, dancer or an actor if you can't actually get in the room to show your skills, and it's the marketing.
Absolutely.
So we've spoken about the transferable skills to this side. Are there any skills now, whether it's learning from your business partner or like the room was built around this couch. This is the level
of detail
that has gone into this amazing facility. And we will talk a lot more about it because I'll definitely be wearing a dog. But yeah, well, are there any skills that you're either implementing now or you've learned that you think, oh, I'm going to use that when I get back in the audition room, or I wish other performers knew to like utilize this skill?
I think like flipping it around, I think definitely it's a level of community and of communication. I think that's like key. Even like when you talk about relationships, like it's communication, but I think that's across all boards.
Yeah.
And so like it's chatting to your agent. Like it's chatting to even just your colleagues. Like, and even that's just like a hi, how are you today? Great. Like that kind of thing, rather than just like coming in your shell and then doing your thing, go. Like you have to involve yourself in the work. And like, obviously like we're building our team up here and then taking over like a space and kind of putting on that kind of like boss hat is exciting, scary, but like exciting. Cause I'm usually like, yep, sure, I'll do it. Like it's like perform, like you go from A to B. Great.
Yeah.
Is that thing? Is it like a dancer and actor? Like you say to get from A to B, a dancer goes like how, and an actor goes why. Like it's all that kind of like thing. It's that kind of thing.
So not only do you perform and you love dogs, you also do a lot of fitness. And
yes.
I guess your world's kind of, I'm literally looking up here, like you guys can't see this, but it's epic. But like this used to be a fitness space as well. So it's almost like a weird world.
It is actually,
It's like Inception with like Leonardo DiCaprio. It's like
great film.
How to go to your personal brand then? How have you kind of got these three avenues? Because obviously as a performer, Jack, when you go in an audition, that casting director doesn't need to know that you have a dog business or you do fitness and vice versa. There may be times when you can marry up that brand because someone who comes to your fitness class is like, oh my God, I need to see you in the show.
Exactly.
So how do you kind of leverage your personal brand? Is it your social media? Do you try and keep each identity kind of separate? How do you kind of build your personal brand?
So I think a lot of performers do have like, we say like the side hustle, right? As a kind of, but we know it's like that kind of like second job.
Yeah.
I think fitness is definitely a really great synergy between the both, because you can still do your performing job in the evening, you can still teach in the morning or the afternoon. So I think that really works. And also, again, it's like that thing of transferable skill, where as a teacher, where I teach like spin and reformer and stuff like that, like you have the energy and the personality that people will like grasp into. So that's what's really great about that. I think in terms of like pushing like each brand, I don't do it personally like separately. I don't have like a fitness account and like my account. I just have like my account, and it's just like, this is me, this is what you're gonna get, like everything here, this is all part of me. It's all, I'm the same person across all three, performing, teaching and here as well, which I think is what my kind of like superpower is. I think it's like my energy, like my positivity, my drive across, whether I'm teaching a bike at like 7:30 in the morning or I'm like looking after 35 dogs. Do you know what I mean? It's so that it's that kind of that same drive. I think that's what's so great about having something you also love doing.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing, right? So like performing is always a first love. And then also like I taught, I was like, oh, I found a second love where I can still kind of perform almost. Like it's like my class, it's kind of like me, got the microphone, like the thing. But also like here, I've got like little bits of I can bring in. Like we've got a studio downstairs that we can use. We've got like, we're obviously meeting with the clients and stuff, bringing their dogs in and like creating this amazing like Western Tail space where it feels like a community and a family. And it feels so familiar, even though it's completely different. It's like, you think doggy daycare and theater, like how is that? But it's all the same. It's stuff like we'll bring a client in and with a dog and they go, oh great, like we can see a show tonight. We go, well, actually Charlie's mum is actually in Benjamin Button. And you're like, what? She's like, yeah, you should like, do you know what I mean? So it's creating those connections and then building it. So essentially I'm helping out the community community by getting the ticket sales. Also they're helping out bringing dogs and clients into us. So it's that synergy.
There's so many amazing aspects about this, literally, when I was walking around, that I wasn't just blowing like smoke up your bum. I was literally like, wow, because you just thought of so much.
The space here is amazing. You've gone from everything from, you've literally designed this building around the couch. It's like the user journey. There's four spaces downstairs. You've created that. It's not the playground. What are you calling it? The dog?
Play park.
Dog, yes. Play park.
Close. Play park, yeah.
Again, let me sink right back into this sofa. I feel like I'm like, it's a lovely sofa. So downstairs, you've got this play park and it's got like fake grass and you've created a filtration system. So if the dogs go to the toilet, it kind of filters around again. Like, how did you get from 5, 6, 7, 8 or spin class to this point? And maybe what business?
Picking up dog poo.
Yeah, picking up. You've made it.
Guys, height of the career right here, right now.
Like, how did you even, like, would you have even thought 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that you would have to be doing this, balancing budgets and finances? And we mentioned tax. So obviously, the fact you're now doing budgets, probably some of that's come over. But yeah, what kind of business skills are you using now? And also, what skills do you think performers should, now that you're doing more of a business, what kind of skills should performers use more to help leverage their careers?
It's like, I mean, I think when we started creating this space, we wanted to think how we're going to use it. So we always have the separate dog areas. We have the play park downstairs so that if the dog needs to go to the toilet, they have the option rather than obviously take them always outside. Because obviously we're in central London, the city, so it's not always that accessible. Although obviously we have our scheduled walk times to Lincoln Fields around the corner, it just helps us with that. And I think the business skills, obviously the kind of tax financial part of it, is something, and I think it's great that I'm very lucky that my business partner is from that world anyway, so I'm learning like literally like firsthand, being like, okay, great. Like, and it's been like funny story, like we're like having our meetings and then Susan's on a laptop and she's got like her Excel sheet, all the formulas, and she's just typing it in like, if you do this and press it and it all happens, this I'm like, wow. And I go, that'll look great in sage green, like, do you know what I mean? That's like my that's my input. I'm like, how about we put this here, this cushion look, do you know what I mean? Like, that's my thing. And then she's like, boom, and it's like amazing. But it's like I'm learning, okay, like never stop learning, be like, teach me how to do that, because I want to know how to do that. I want to know that actually if we sell this, this and this, and we mark that off here, that we're making this, like, because her background is like retail, like Amazon, like amazing, that's her brain, that's what she can transfer into this business. So it's having that. But then performer wise like, what do you bring to the business? Like, I bring an energy, I bring a certain kind of aura, I bring like a confidence, I bring hopefully like a style,
your networking skills as well, like things.
Oh my god,
like
networking is so important. Like, and like we always say, like, not networking so much like dancing at freedom, as we know, like, but like networking is, and like sending emails to agents, to casting directors, to choreographers that you work with, like stuff like, it's having that confidence, being like, oh, I've worked with you before, I know a job's coming up. You kind of go, hey, like, and they might not email, they might not, that's fine, but at least you've given it that kind of like go. And it's having that confidence of being like, oh, I don't want to pester them, like, no, but like if they read it, great, and if not, then at least you've done something. And it's the same here. It's like, we want to try everything. So we want to like make it this premier London dog care facility where we have like access to everyone, whether it's theatre or it's business, and you can drop your dog off like in the morning. So like before work, pick them up usual time. Or if you're in theatre, you drop them off before your show at night, pick them up at night. But then if you're in work, and you can take your dog into the office, which is great. But then in the evening, you want to go watch a show or you want to go for dinner, then you've got this space here that you can drop dog off, knowing that actually I can finish a show, come here and pick them up, and you don't have to rush home or whatever. So it's that, it's kind of seeing the bigger picture and like putting the skills into it and seeing like, okay, this is what's going to happen for this and this and this, which is what you need to do as a performer. Like you have to be able to sing, dance and act, and then all the rest on top. It's hard, it's really hard.
And I think having that, giving yourself that beat or that space to almost have that bigger picture, like, goes back to the whole thing of like staying in our own lane and not comparing ourselves. And it's hard with social media, but I think some show, your dream show may close next week, or your dream show may not have even been written yet, so there's so many opportunities. But I think that bigger picture idea, it's probably quite hard to do though, because when you always go. But I want to ask you, you mentioned emails, and we joked off camera when we were setting up about how you're like, you're not like, hey, Han, what's up? What? How is your email etiquette changed now you're doing pure business?
So yeah, I was sending emails, I'd be like, hey, why? No, there's only one why and hey. Maybe it should be hello. And then like filming it in and being like, hey, nice day today. What have you been up to? Like, is the sunshine good to watch? And they'll be like, Jack, kiss. No kiss. Like, so yeah, I've had to learn to kind of make it a little bit more corporate, I think. But I also think I don't want to make it too corporate, because that's also not me. Like, you still have to have a little bit of you in it. I hope that people kind of resonate, like, whether that's obviously dealing with builders and architects or dealing with accountants and directors. Like, everyone's still people. Like, as much as their title is, so you still kind of got to have some kind of air about it, but also don't be a robot, like, cause also you can see through it. Like,
I like that, like, try and acknowledge the title and maybe the gravitas that comes with that, but actually the people at the end of the day, and you're so big on connection and community, which is great. So even if you flip that back to performing world, if you are emailing a casting director directly or an agent, yes, professional. However, they are human. They want to know why you are different. Like, what is your USP? Like,
And that is, I think that's great. You touched on like the why. I always say it in my classes as well. It's like, why we do what we do is so important, because you have to have that purpose. And that's what's going to drive you through. Like, whether it's like on the stage, whether it's like in that spin studio, or whether it's like in this space creating a business, like, what is your why? Like, why are you doing it? Like, and if it's to make money, great. If it's to, like we've done, create like a, essentially create a need that was, didn't exist. And then essentially that's grown to something bigger, which was not what we thought was going to happen, but it has, which is great. So you just never know what avenue that's going to go. So yeah, always have your why.
And I think what you've done fabulously here is that you've made it this whole, because you're still, obviously, you're quite newly open, but you've already thought ahead. So you've got the rehearsal studio. So for the performer who needs their dog in daycare whilst they're rehearsing, you've got your weekly vocal sessions. You're going to rent it out to people for rehearsals if they need to note bash. But then you've also got like really nice showers. If you are literally like done a rehearsal, you can clean up, then go to the audition or go home. Or if you're the local business bro and need to drop off your dog, it's a fabulous space. And I know you're already mentioning about like upcoming things with like your dog book club and things like that. I think it's really lovely. And then if you then put that into you as a performer, it's identifying who's buying the skills you have, or is there a gap in the market for you? Like, so what advice would you maybe give to someone then about finding their unique selling point and their USP? Or
like, I think it's like nice, like touch on what we like offer here, as that we wanted like a one-stop shop. So you bring your dog in, you can go shop in the retail shop around the corners, or you can bring your dog in for a groom, or you can use the space downstairs, like a studio space, for whatever, like I said, auditions, whether you want to do it for workshops. Also, we'll be using the space for educational purposes. So we have like our doggy first aid training, we have our dog physio, we have one-on-one puppy training. So it's all like a usable space and a one-stop shop, and build that community. So like, in terms of like your USP, you've got to kind of figure out one, who you are. That's the most important thing, because
being authentic,
because obviously as a theater, you're being multiple people. Like, one, you've got like Jack as a business, and you have like Jack as a performer, where I'm playing a train on roller skates. You know what I mean? That's a very separate kind of thing. But what is your USP as a performer, and what are you going to bring to that company, bring to that business that no one else is going to. And that, I think, was always a tricky thing with auditioning, because it's like, for instance, I'm like 5'8", kind of like brunette, kind of like American kind of teen looking. So that also hits a lot of shows, which has been great. Some shows it doesn't, which is fine. But then also then in a room of 5'8" boys with brown hair, how do I stand out? Yeah. Like the quiff. But like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, how are you going to look at me? And I think your talent goes only so far. There's also got to be that extra little kind of like sprinkle. And it's same. That's, you can do exactly the same in the business. Like, how are you going to stand out from the rest? And that's what makes Hero Tales like so unique to other daycares, is that we offer like so much more than just looking after your dog. Yeah. Like that's just like the kind of little part of it. It's like the hours we offer. It's the grooming we offer. It's the seminars and like stuff they talk about, the doggy book club. So maybe on a Sunday when everything else is shut and we're maybe not as busy with kind of usual dog care, then we have this amazing space, which is our dog library, where you can come read a book, chill with your dog, have a glass of bubbles, and then meet other dog owners and create that community and being like, oh my God, like, where do you work? Oh, I actually work in down the road in Frame Store. And you go, where do you go? Oh, I'm actually working in Benjamin Button, or I'm working in Wicked. And you're like, oh my God, great. Like, and you create that connection. They go, we're crossing these worlds together and like merging and being like, oh my God, you should see that show. Great. Get a ticket. Like, do you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
And also it shows, it's credit to you and Susan as well, the fact that you are spotting the evolution of how dogs integrate in people's lives, especially since the pandemic. So many more dogs.
I mean, Susan's got the actual, she's facts and figures, but I think we figured out when we're actually like working out, like, is this actually a thing? I think it went up by, and this is, don't like quote me on this, but I think it was like 70% dog owners went up in the pandemic. So obviously like we couldn't go anywhere and people got dogs, but now everyone's essentially going back to work and they've obviously got the hybrid working. But I know from my personal, like my partner, he's now been told he's got to go in 4 days a week out of five now. It used to be 2, 3, it's just going back up again. Yeah. I think we'll always have that hybrid, but essentially like people have got dogs and now like, oh my God, how do I go back into the office? And that's why we're here.
Surprise, we're here.
Surprise.
You mentioned about how connection, obviously, community, relationship building is key in basically in any business, especially performing. You've obviously built up a lovely relationship with your agent, because now that you're open, great, you're back in performer mode. But when you were kind of in the thick of this, your agent completely understood and was like, great, take a hot second, have a little break, come back when you're ready. How or what advice would you give to someone maybe about nurturing or building a healthy, positive relationship with an agent?
Okay, so yeah, I'm glad you asked this actually. So the biggest thing I say is obviously they technically work for you, right? So number one, you shouldn't be afraid to call your agent. I had some friends who were some big names, and they were like, I don't want to pick up the phone. And you're like, I could literally call my agent now. I wouldn't, because he talks for ages. And I was like, I haven't got the time. But as in, like, yeah, I can literally call and be like, hey, like, this is happening or whatever. Great. How's your day been? Like, and you need that, because you are going to work a lot with them. Yeah. You might not see them a lot, but you'll talk to them a lot. So you have to be comfortable enough in that, and you can pick up the phone and not be worried to call them. Also, again, they are human as well. And like, and if it's something you don't want to do, you've got to say no. Like, because you're the one who's doing it at the end of the day, and don't be like worried. And it's really easy for me now, because I've been with my agent, touchwood, since I left college, so I've got a very good relationship with him. But like, I think people are scared, but like, oh, they're gonna drop me if I don't take the audition. But I was like, so usually when you first graduate, you're probably gonna take every audition. Like, I remember that, like, yes, I'll do it, like, do you know what I mean? Because you just want to get out there and get your job,
and you want to find out what you want to do, who you
for
like,
sure
well
and what
with.
You want and but then as you kind of progress, and then
you just copied you. I'm so influenced. It's changed my post.
Well, you know, it's like I get the blue tick. As you move on, like through your career, then there is stuff that you maybe don't want to do. Like, maybe you don't want to go on tour. Maybe you don't want to go like and do a world tour. Like, although that would be incredible if you can get that opportunity, like definitely do it.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes you don't. You kind of like, you settle and you want to like nest a little bit more. But you have to be able to have this conversation where you go, actually, I don't want to go for that audition.
Yeah.
And like, I can speak, my agent's been great. And when I spoke about this, he was like, mate, this is great. Like, he was like, obviously, like, I want to keep on the book. So I was like, great, I don't want to leave. I just want to let you know this is happening. Because it's, you have to have that rapport with them. That's the most important thing, I think.
Yeah. People buy into brands they know, like, and trust, as we always say in marketing. So you as a personal brand, they buy into you. So now you've got clients like me. I know you from performing. I've also taken your spin class. and now I'm definitely bringing my little like cavapoo here, Toby. So I've kind of stayed with you on like, in business, we'd say a sales funnel.
Come on, corporate.
Yes. but again, in the industry, it's that sales funnel of like, or the user journey of where like your agent sends a CV, you're then in the room and you're moving further down the funnel. You might drop out at some point, but eventually you'll book a show. But the ideal thing is to get rehired by that casting director producer again. So maybe talk to me a bit about your growth of personal brand or how you think understanding that you are a business has really helped you in maybe as a performer and in your like adjacent work.
Yeah, Jay, that's a really good question actually. So like, I think we always go into this business with like theatre being like, I have to sing and dance and act, and you have to do that as well. But again, there's another side to it. You have to do your taxes. You have to send the emails to the agents. You have to like go into those audition rooms and do your thing, but also like be so much more and have those multiple hats on. I think audition wise, they're obviously casting a certain track, and it's always the way of being like, you kind of have to fit that puzzle, but also they're casting you and you as a person and you are a brand. And we do it in our taxes, right? We kind of like, we claim our beauty and our makeup and our haircuts, and because we're a brand and we have to be able to, so like, sell yourself as a brand and do that. And like you said, like it's nice to hear that obviously like we've auditioned together and like worked together on like a few little corporate jobs, and then like spin classes, and like, so you know me as a person. And I'm exactly that same person that I am, like, obviously not on stage, I'm a character, but isn't like as a person that I am on.
I refuse to play Elder.
I'm Elder Greaves, thank you. And then also like, I'm that same person here when I'm looking after your dog, which creates that trust and creates that that relationship. That you could go, great, I know Jack. And then also goes, I know Jack as well. Or go, I know Susan and I know that person. So that I'm going to trust that they know what they're doing and they've created this space and that I'm going to feel safe leaving Toby with you. And that's what we wanted. Like, and that's what's so important about, you have to, reputation's everything. And you have to like sell yourself. Like you have to, you're a brand, like you are a brand. Yeah.
And I think sometimes we don't realize as freelance creatives. So again, this isn't just if you're on stage. This is because I'm finding more now working in press that we are interviewing experts. We're speaking to technicians, costume designers. So it's, everyone has a brand that you buy into. Yes, some people, influencers are the perfect example of how they have to leverage their brand like heavily, where sometimes other people, it's just making sure that you're being authentic. We know who you are.
Authenticity is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Like, and people can see right through it if you're not authentic. I think as a performer, you have a certain like air of performance, like, but it doesn't mean that it's not authentic, but you can tell when someone's not themselves, and then that's going to be your biggest sell. It's like seeing you and who you are, because that's something you can't fake. Yeah. As much a good actor you are, you can't fake that the whole time.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's part of a business, I think you've done it very well, is that you're doing 8 shows a week, for instance. How do you sustain then your body and mentally and physically to do 8 shows a week? Because that is brutal, especially like when you're on skates and you're potentially understudying 13 roles.
Starlight was, I've never been so fit in my life, honestly. Like, it's an insane show. I know, obviously, it's in London at the moment, which is great. It's come back. But the German version is like mega. It's like the London version, like times 10, like it's crazy. And everyone who's done Starlight is has that connection, just because it's a great show. But yeah, so I think 8 shows a week is really hard. It's tricky, but it's kind of essentially what you signed up to do, so that's your job, so you've got to do it. But I think you've got to look after yourself, and although the hours are unsociable, and obviously like we all like to have a party and a drink and stuff, but like that's great, but it's all about balance, and knowing that you still have to obviously do like the work the next day, but like be fit, go to the gym, do classes, do yoga, like, or if it's more about you want to escape and you want to paint, or you want to, I don't know, go for a walk, like that kind of stuff, that you have to have that balance where you kind of have a bit of more self-care. Because if not, you will burn out like quick.
And the thing is, you can't, when you walk in and you do a 16 bar cut of a song, or you're in a 20 minute, half an hour of dance school, you have no way to articulate, oh, I'm really tired because of this and this, or they only see what you deliver on the day. So it's trying to like control those controllables again and give 100%. And how are you going to maintain that? Because no one's going to buy a business or a brand or product that's like 40. Like, We want optimum.
It's tricky. It's really hard. It's that thing of the show must go on, right? And as soon as you walk in that audition room, you are essentially giving, you're selling yourself. In the best way, that sounded wrong, but you have to sell yourself.
I think it's really hard because there's no audition that's ever the same, and it never has been. And I've been like graduated now, like since 2012, so like a long time, like 15 odd years nearly. So I've never been to an audition that feels the same. Obviously, you'll see the same people around as always, and you see the same casting directors and stuff, but also people also want to see you and your personality and how you are as a person. That is so important in a company. Because you can tell, like, when you start warm up and there's someone that comes in with that odd energy, it does like transfer across, and it's really hard to pull everyone out of it if that one person drags us down. So like obviously they're going to see if they can sing and see if you can dance or whatever, but also they're seeing you. And the best advice is just be you. Don't try to be someone else. It's that quote, isn't it? It's like, just be yourself because everyone else is already taken.
Well, everyone will get a first job, but not everyone will get a second job. So as you said, if they're like that bad apple.
I think kids coming out now, I think it's really hard because it's a crazy world we live in, like, for sure. Like, social media is great, but also very dangerous.
Yeah.
And there's so much available. And I think also so much is expected straight away. And it's not always the case. And you'll get a few that come out and they land that job and they rock it, right? But it's very few and far between. The majority of people are going to come out. If they work, they'll go into ensemble, which is great as well. And you'll get the covers, or you'll go into a few little like principal roles, but then it might not. There's not a ladder in this business. No. Realistically, there's not, which my boyfriend is literally like wild about. He's like, so you've worked for how many years and you're still going back? I was like, I know it's wild, but
you have to be good at starting again, don't you?
Yeah.
You can do an epic job and then the next day you're in an audition.
Next day you're working at Starbucks, like until that next job comes up, and that's fine. But yeah, so I think you have to come out with a little bit more resilience, I think, and just know that it's not necessarily going to happen. But also, like, doing 8 shows a week, it is your job to do 8 shows a week.
Yeah.
So like, do it. Unless you're ill, don't come in, that's fine. Don't spread it around. If you're injured, that's fine, but take the time. Like, know your business, you are busy, because if you don't work, you don't get paid, you don't pay those bills. But like, also, if you're tired, you're going to be tired, so you still got to come in and do your job.
Let's talk the juggling act of this industry. Sometimes you have those in-between jobs, whether it's a career ambition job, love a passion, or just kind of that survival job. What would you recommend them maybe to a performer to kind of keep them incentivized in this industry? Because sometimes it's always hard. Like, even if you've just done an epic job, you're then back to next day square one, as we said. So what advice would you give to someone to kind of stay incentivized in the industry?
I think that's the hardest thing about freelance work is the balance, and balancing everything and going, okay, I'm doing this job on Monday, this job Tuesday, and this job's come in, so I'm gonna have to move that one, and like, that's really tricky, and that'll always be the case. So that's a good skill to learn, is how to balance. But also the jobs, like, we call them like in-between jobs or like whatever, like, you still have to find something that gives you that flexibility that you can go to auditions, but also it's something that you do enjoy, because life will pass you by too quick, and you don't want to end up going like, oh my god, I'm out of work for a year. I say out of work as in like not performing for a year, and you kind of like wasted that time because you're doing a job that you don't really like enjoy. You're kind of just kind of doing it to get by, and that's fine for a bit, but then you have to really take stock and be like, is this how you want to live your life? Like waiting for that next job which will come. Like, I think you got to think also good mindset. You got to think like when rather than if. Even if it doesn't, you still got to have that mindset, because that's how it's going to keep your drive going. And that's how you're going to keep essentially waking up and doing your thing. It's hard though. It's really hard.
And what makes your job even harder in multiple of your shows is that you were swing covering upwards of 5 tracks. You can let me know quite how many it was, but like, that in itself is a skill that not everyone has, but is maybe something someone can dangle in front of a potential new agent, because it's swings are quite like hard to come by, and they're quite often in work, so it could be quite a good bargaining chip to an agent to be like, hey, I've got swing experience, or I want to be a swing. So talk to me about your swing experience.
I've pretty much most of the shows that I've done, I was a swing on. Like you say, it's kind of like, they're hard to come by, and also hard to find like a good swing. And I think it's a job that everyone should do, so they experience what it is like to be a swing. Not everyone can do it, and that's fine, but they should do it to be like, oh my god, this is what it's like to be a swing. Like, we all have those shows where we kind of go in and we do our one track and it's beautiful, you know what you're doing the day, and it's something really nice yeah. about that, and you're like stunning. But also, like, a swing is just that add extra, and you kind of think about, oh well, you're not on stage today. It's like, yeah, but as soon as that telephone rings and they go, you're on for this, and you've not done that part in 6 months, like, you got to go on, like, that's your job. So I think the most I covered was Starlight, where I did 13 tracks, which was crazy. Also on roller skates, mental.
Just to
add it on, yeah. But yeah, there's been multiple shows as well. I've been doing the show and I'm doing one track, and then suddenly, like, something happens within the show, and then I have to, like, switch. But like, oh my god, there's a lift coming up with that person, and they've just gone off. That lift can't happen, so I'll switch to, like, that other person, do that one little part, then go back to my, like. I love it, and that gives me adrenaline. That's what I like. I thrive off. I'm like, oh my god, yes, give it to me. But not every show. Like, sometimes I like to just go in and do, like, a nice A to B. Like, that's fine. But it is. It's a hard job, and it's a. I think also we need to change the narrative, I think, in the industry, because I think a lot of people don't. I don't want to say look down on swings, because they think about it in, like, a pecking order.
Yeah.
You got your principles. You got your kind of, like, cover ensemble, then you have your swings, which I don't think is the right narrative at all. I think it goes, oh, it's like swingers, oh, it's a good place to start. So people, like, want to do it, and that's their path, right? Because usually swings kind of lead on to, like, more like the kind of, like, ACDs, dance captains, residents. It kind of, that's the path it kind of leads, because yeah. you have that mind where you've got multiple things, multiple hats, problem everything
solving, yeah.
Like, and that's the lead that it goes up to. I didn't want to go that path. I just loved, like, doing something different every night, because a contract for a year is a long time doing the same thing. But a contract for a year, when you've got maybe 13 different things you might be doing in a week, then that's obviously makes it a little bit more, like, exciting. But yeah, I think if you want to, like, do it, you put swing on it and you post it, because people, I know people that have done swing and they don't put it on their CV because they don't want to get cast in that bracket. But if it is what you want to do, sell it, be like, yes, I want to do this. And, like, also tell your agent, especially when you're getting to, like, the last few and they're looking for parts, like, yes, he will swing, like, he wants to swing, or be honest with yourself, don't know, he doesn't, and just be honest with yourself, like, if you don't want to swing, then that's absolutely fine, that is okay, like, that's maybe not the job for you. But yeah, if you want to do it, then you should sell that, because it's a great skill to have.
And those skills are probably really are kind of the bread and butter of your transferable skills to kind of launch in this amazing, like, business of West End Tales, because you are having to manage different people. So mm-hmm. you have to be, like, empathetic, but also, like, do finance and timesheets. You then also have to do, like, the design of this yeah. and, like, the health and safety. So there's so many different, the fact that your brain operates like that, I think, is such a valuable skill, whether you leave the world of performing arts and do something completely different or stay mm-hmm. within it. Like, I think a swing brain is something.
It's for sure. And I think that's what's, like, another transferable skill we spoke about earlier, is, like, having, for me personally, that kind of brain where you can kind of, like, see multiple patterns and see the kind of overall picture, which is great when building this space, and why we've kind of thought, right, okay, the overall picture is this. We want to get this community, this feeling, this vibe. But then what's the little details? So we have, like, the little dog lobby. So there's, like, you come in, you say hi to reception, you go into the dog lobby, and then you never go back at the same door. So there's never, like, that traffic. You go out the second door, you come in, dog comes in here, you go downstairs. Like, we have, like, our grooming salon downstairs, so you can book your dog in for a day and then you can go to the grooming salon, and it's not, like, it's no difference to your schedule, because the dog's gonna be here for what, 10 hours, 5 hours. In that schedule, they can have a groom. Or then you want to go downstairs, use the studio, you can have your dog up here, you can, like, use the studio for, like, half an hour before you have to audition at Pineapple, so you can go yeah. to your dance, you can sing your song, like, you can go leave your dog here while you audition and then go away. It's all those little, like, details and all those little points. So we had to think, okay, this is the big picture, but then let's splice it up and go, this is track one, the studio, this is track two, the play part, this is track three, it's the grooming, and then you kind of transfer it over into this.
So as I shimmy up the sofa here,
get yourself ready.
We have got a new round which you didn't have for seasons 1 through 4, so this is brand new. It's quick fire. And I say quick, I interviewed someone the other day and I was like, this is a separate podcast in the back. So we need to be quick.
Okay,
it's called Lights, Questions, Action.
Cute.
First of all, opening night nerves or opening a new business? Which was scarier?
Opening night nerves.
Okay, your go-to hype track. So this could be for your fitness class or you're about to go in an audition with people half your age.
Bonnie Tyler, Holding Out for Hero, 100%.
Power grab to that one.
Absolutely.
Role or dream show you'd like to be in, whether it's no longer exists, you want to bring it back, or companies in the West End landscape?
Oh, First thing is hairspray.
Mm-hmm. You got that lovely head of hair.
It is the brand.
Burpees, box jumps, or barking dogs, which is a bit trickier.
Barking dogs.
I know, we love puppies, but I'm like, what do you want from me?
What are you trying to say? And then when one starts, they all start, and then it's, yeah.
It's a whole chorus. Most surprising thing you've learned as a first-time business owner?
I found something that I'm also passionate about that's not theatre.
And that has kind of stolen the thunder of the next question. But
what
is one thing that every performer should do outside of the arts to be fulfilled or keep their spark alive?
I have another passion as well, because, like, obviously it is, theatre is great and it's amazing, but it does become a job after a while. So you need something else that's kind of separate, removed from it, and that you still get joy from.
Favourite dog breed?
Cocker Spaniel, but I'm biased.
Gorgeous. What's your dog called again?
Isla.
Isla, she's stunning.
And actually, she's a cross. She's a Cocker Spaniel cross with a King Charles Spaniel. Oh, so she's actually a Cockalier. It's a technical term. Yeah, I know.
Cockalier.
But yeah, Spaniels.
If your life were a musical right now, what would it be called?
I thought Cats, but it's not Cats, it's Dogs You Look After. Oh my God, I don't know. Weston Tales the Musical.
What show was it that had loads of dogs? With Toot Sweet. What song is that?
What?
What's that musical?
101 Dalmatians.
No, but that one also
has that's a good one.
Why can't I think of the name? It's literally Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. That have dogs in it, right? That has dogs.
Does it?
Did that have dogs in it?
I don't think Oliver and Company.
I don't know. What Disney, shows am I been watching? Maybe like some Amdrams that have just put dogs in. Well, Legally Blonde has a dog. You know that?
Yes, it does. Oh, it's a great show.
Yes. R.I.P. Legally Blonde. Puppies or applause?
Puppies.
Always
applause
puppies.
For me, though.
They're such puppies. Lovely. Like, I think until you've had a dog, you don't quite know like how therapeutic they are.
Exactly. I mean, they're also hard work.
Yeah.
Let you know, puppies are hard work, but when they get to like 3, it's great. Just get through the first 3 years. Yeah.
It's like your career. Once you got through those first 3 years,
I know, right?
Cutting the teeth, you're in. And then I quite like a voice note. It doesn't need to be too long, but obviously we're doing a podcast now, so I like talking. So voice note or text?
Voice note 100%. And Susan hates it. And I love it, because it's just like, it's easier for me. I know it's probably not for you, but I'm going to send it to you anyway. And then it's 4 minutes later, and she's like, oh my God, like 2x speed.
So thank you so much. All I have to say is come on and check out West End Tales. What's your closest station? I walk from Farringdon, but...
So closest is Chancery Lane.
Chancery Lane.
But we are a 15-minute walk from Tottenham Court Road or Charing Cross.
Great.
So we're central.
But you can come and sit on this giant couch. It's
literally,
so comfy.
So yeah. And we're open literally 7:30 to 11 o'clock at night. So... come along, say hi, drop your dog off and go see a show, go for dinner.
And then all I have to say is make sure you follow and subscribe wherever you listen or watch your podcasts.